This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. For one family in Boston, one date, the 8th of June, may always bring pain. That's the date that 17-year-old Raekwon Brown was fatally shot last week outside his high school in Dorchester. This afternoon, family and friends gathered for Raekwon's funeral. His cousin, Yolanda Williams, remembered him.
Loving, kind, a teddy bear, a real teddy bear. Somebody that was always there for you.
Those who mourn a death by homicide endure a particular kind of grief with its own burdens and emotional scars.
I'm Cassandra Worrell, and I'm a survivor of a homicide victim. My son, Anthony, was murdered in 2011, August 31st, in the Charlestown area.
It's nearly 5 years after Worrell's son was killed. He was 28, shot once in the torso. She still feels her own wound from the grief.
You don't have the closure where if he was ill, I could have spent time and let him know how much he meant to me and loved me, and I loved him. It's just, bam, your son is dead. And what you do is you go and view the body, and you can say, yeah, I love you. It's not the same.
Anthony, or Tony, was a young man full of joy. He loved to make her laugh, and he liked computers and kids. After he died, his mother learned quickly that not everyone wanted to hear her talk about him.
I was feeling, like, withdrawn and alone.
The violence of her son's death and the depth of Worrell's pain made people pull back. Now she's found something that helps.
Hey, how are you today?
Good to see you.
You too.
She meets weekly with social worker Cynthia Kennedy, who specializes in treating people who are grieving after a homicide.
So often people feel like they have to take care of others when they talk about a loss due to homicide, take care of other people's reactions or feelings, because it can be stigmatizing.
Kennedy is clinical coordinator of the Homicide Support Services Project at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
Having a safe space, they don't have to worry about anyone else's reaction. They don't have to worry about taking care of anybody else. They can just bring what they need to bring.
Sometimes they bring emotions that are foreign and frightening.
Intense rage or intense anger, desire for revenge. People can often experience post-traumatic stress reactions. They could have nightmares. They could have increased fear or hypervigilance.
The talk therapy helps people tamp down those reactions. Kennedy also teaches them techniques such as guided meditation and breathing exercises to give the mind a rest. A few miles away from Beth Israel, grief from homicide is dealt with in a different way, through peer support. People gather at the public library in Dorchester's Grove Hall neighborhood to talk, pray, and sing.
Deep peace of the flowing air to you.
Janet Connors finds solace through song. She's leading a gathering called a peace circle, organized by the group Legacy Lives On. Most of the dozen people who've shown up here on a Saturday afternoon lost a son to homicide, and that includes Connors. Another woman's grandson was murdered. The participants sit in a circle. They take turns talking about their highs and lows from the week, and they talk about the principles of peace, such as unity, love, and justice. There's also a lot of talk here of anniversaries, but not the happy kind.
I've been feeling down because my son's anniversary is coming in July, and it usually starts hitting me in May.
Ramona Jones is the mother of the late Anthony Weeks.
And all I want to do is sleep now. Yes. That's all I want to do. It's hard for me to get out of the bed.
But she does, and finds ways to cope.
I buy coloring books, and I just sit and color. I use the colors that Anthony liked. He liked blue and black. And I just sit there and I just say, Anthony, I'm coloring this for you.
Leanne Taylor is mourning her son, Daniel. He was murdered when he was 23.
When I'm feeling down, I light a candle and I talk to him. And the aroma from the candle makes me feel like he's with me.
It's music that brings Charmise Galloway closer to her son, Dakeem. He was murdered when he was 14.
When I think of my Dakeem, I have all his favorite artists on my iPod, so I'll be probably rapping a 50 Cent or a whole lot of Nelly. God, he loved Nelly.
The laughter lightens the shared pain. People here say this group is a lifeline. When they're not meeting, they're texting or messaging each other. Serafina Taylor is approaching the 15th anniversary of her son Carl's murder.
When I say that my heart beats every day for every last one of you, even if I don't call you, when I go on Facebook.
But there's a downside to that.
And I see people's quotes. My kids say to me, don't do Facebook, Mom, because it hurts you. You're always taking on somebody else's pain.
There is no escaping the grief.
And I hope that you all can make it through just like I'm trying to.
I'm a mother of 6 children. I only have 3 left now.
That's Lola Alexander. She lost a daughter to brain cancer. A decade later, one of her sons was murdered. A couple months after that, so was another son.
Every time somebody else's child get murdered on the street, we ball up in fetus, positions like fetus. It hurts. We don't even have to know them, but it's a part of us. We are here to build a format for those that are coming behind us. We got to strengthen ourselves, but this pain from murder, it'll never leave.
For some people, the image of what their loved one's final moments might have been like never leaves. For Cassandra Worrell, who goes to Beth Israel for counseling, the pain is compounded because no one's been arrested in the killing of her son, Tony. And she says detectives haven't been in touch for a few years, so she is perpetually wondering what happened. Social worker Cynthia Kennedy says it can become like a mental movie.
So your mind can just play and replay these scenarios, both in dreams and during the daytime, over and over as you try to grapple with and make sense of this tragic loss.
It's a lifelong process. Kennedy doesn't like to use words such as closure. She talks about people re-engaging with life. Cassandra Worrell is doing that. She started her own cleaning company, a job that gives her flexibility to go visit family out of state. That gives her a measure of peace.
What keeps me going is that knowing that Tony wouldn't want me to be curled up somewhere sad. So that keeps me going. That fuels my day. And I won't allow the perpetrator to steal my whole life. He might have taken my child, but he can't have me.
Beth Israel's Homicide Bereavement Therapy is free to any survivor of homicide loss. The program is a partnership with the Lewis D. Brown Peace Institute in Dorchester. If you'd like more information, go to our website, wbur.org.